Rax Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. What would you expect a father to say to his daughter if she wanted to be an artist when she left school? Should he be encouraging? Should he help her find the right college? Or should he tell her to get a proper job? Well, when Dr. Gillian Dunlop was a girl, her father insisted she go to medical school like her other siblings. He said he wasn't going to support her for the next 35 years as a struggling artist. It hurt at the time, but on reflection, it's the best advice she could have received. Today, Dr. Dunlop would concur that it's important, especially as a woman, to be financially independent, and it's a topic she'll be talking about at RACS New South Wales Surgeons Month in November. Dr. Dunlop is an ENT surgeon at Sydney Adventist Hospital, focusing on paediatric ENT and rhinoplasty. But she never gave up on her childhood dream of being an artist. She merely postponed it. In fact, today she's a renowned portrait artist, having been an Archibald and Blake Prize finalist. She's been commissioned to paint many prominent Australians, including former Governor-General Dame Quinton Bryce and the Governor of New South Wales, Dame Marie Bashir. Gillian Dunlop tells Chris Ashmore she's always had a passion for art.
I can remember even as a very little girl enjoying art, to the point that one day I took all the lipsticks out of my mother's drawer and coloured in the mirror.
Well, she wouldn't have been happy with that.
No, I broke them all, every single one of them. I thought they were crayons.
So your earliest memories then would be with
of art yeah? and colour, yeah.
Now, well, growing up and doing art, you then decided at some stage that this was something that you wanted to continue when you became an adult. But your dad wasn't in favour of you choosing that as a vocation, though, was he?
No. I got a very good mark in the HSE, but I declared I was going to art school. And he said, "I'm not supporting you for the next 35 years. Get a job." So I felt very distressed by that. I felt that my passion wasn't being recognised, and I just fell back on the family tradition of a medical career. I'd grown up in a medical dynasty. All my five brothers and sisters are doctors, and plenty of aunts and uncles. So I went on to medical school, and I had to put my passion for art on ice for a long time.
But it's something that you continued to do while you were at medical school, is that right?
I did. I went to watercolour classes in first, second and third year, but then it just got too hard to juggle uni study and art, so I had to just concentrate on getting a good pass in my medical course and then concentrate on my fellowship training, which was ear, nose and throat surgery.
But take me back to the time when your father did tell you that you should be concentrating on a career outside of art. How did you feel at the time? Is that something that, well, obviously you took it on board later, but was that something that you perhaps didn't quite feel was the right course of action?
I was frustrated, but I was financially dependent on him. So I pursued that family career of medicine and, you know, inherited the family medical textbooks and half skeleton, and we even had a brain that got passed down the family in a bucket of formalin. It's true. So that was given to the university after my younger brother graduated. But I took a long time to realise that he was absolutely right. It's all about financial independence, not financial dependence. And 35 years later, I now understand why my father said what he did.
But it was a long time coming to come to that conclusion, was it? Or did it,
oh, absolutely.
Did it snap in?
No. I think I was well into my private surgical career before I realised that you just simply have to be financially independent. And I don't really like talking about my personal life, but recently I was divorced and it came home very strongly that you can have a passion for a career in the arts, but ultimately you have to be financially independent, especially as a woman. So I'm very grateful for my father's advice all those years ago. And it took a long time for me to understand where he was coming from and why he was so strict.
You say especially as a woman. Is that still the case today?
Oh, I think so. I think that you can't ever assume that something will last forever. And it is difficult for women in so much as they're the people who raise a family. Now, I didn't, but I think my advice to young women today is you've got to have a career which makes you financially independent, and then you can make choices. Money's not going to make you happy, but it gives you options.
Well, you've managed to combine your love of art and your love of surgery. And how have you been able to manage or to juggle your time spent in both fields?
It's difficult. You have to be very organised and very disciplined. I've tried to be a part-time ENT surgeon, but frankly, that doesn't work. You end up being full-time, so you restrict your practice entry, but you just get busier. So what I've done more recently is take off blocks of time. I go to Nashville, Tennessee for 3 weeks at a time, three or four times a year, and train as a portrait artist with board members of the Portrait Society of America. So these are the very best tutors in the world in portraiture. And that's a great privilege to work with them. And it's only because my surgical career has supported that I've been able to afford it.
Has being an ENT surgeon helped you with your art?
Oh, I think you understand the anatomy. So when you look at a face, you recognise the bone structure underneath. So I don't have to think about that. It just comes naturally. And I can concentrate more on the character or the expression. That's what I like to paint. You know, what's the character or emotion that the person embodies?
And vice versa, you specialise in rhinoplasty, which, is it fair to say, is a kind of an art?
Yeah, it's sculpture on the living body. And I thoroughly enjoy it. For me, it's like going to art school two or three times a week.
Tell me about the subjects that you paint. Are they always portraits?
Look, I gravitate towards portraiture because I'm interested in the way people tick. And as I said before, that emotion that they embody. And currently I'm painting the Chief Justice of the Family Law Court of Australia. There's a little irony there, but I'm painting him, and he's renowned for his resolute determination to bring change to the family law court. So I painted that resolute character.
Well, you've painted quite a lot of renowned Australians, including, I think, the former Governor General Quentin Bryce, former First Lady Hazel Hawke, Bob Hawke's former wife. How have you managed to, I suppose, find these renowned Australians, or have they found you?
Well, I think it's because I'm a surgeon. You just mix in circles where people know people. And I was actually seeing in consultation a professor who thought that a pea had gone up the back of his nose when he ate his lunch too fast. And I put some local anaesthetic in, and we chatted away, and we worked out that we both knew this other professor, Jan McCready. Well, anyway, I looked inside his nose and there was no pee. But I got a phone call that night from Jan McCready, and she thanked me for looking after her friend, the professor with the pee. And she said, oh, look, what are you up to these days? And would you be interested in painting a portrait for the University of Sydney of Quentin Bryce? And I said to her, Quentin who? Because at that time she was the governor of Queensland and former principal of the Women's College, University of Sydney. So I was very, very fortunate that Jan knew Quentin Bryce. Quentin needed a portrait for the University of Sydney. I got the gig. And it was during the time that she was being painted that she became Her Excellency Quentin Bryce, Governor of Australia. So the point I'm making is that my medical career gave me a huge leg up. You know, the contacts you make creates a pathway that I would never have had if I'd gone to art school at the age of 18.
You're speaking on the topic, should your daughter be an artist, at this year's New South Wales Surgeons Month on the 14th of November. Why is this event important for you?
I think because as I get older, I realise I am more and more of a mentor. Whether I like it or not, people are looking and watching and listening. And I think I was given an enormous privilege to be a female surgical trainee when I did. I was the second female ENT surgeon in New South Wales. So I think I have a responsibility to give back. And I would like to say to young women that economics drives everything. It's all very well to have a passion for the arts, but you have to back that up. You can follow that to the best of your ability in some way, in some career, but you've just got to be financially independent first.
Dr. Gillian Dunlop. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Bongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.